So we have the gift over the past few months to read a significant section of Scripture, one right after the other. So Luke chapter 12 through 18, we read almost all of it, missing just little bits here and there that I've been adding into my sermons. But the gift of that is that we get this whole big picture of what Jesus is teaching his disciples. Instead of little snippets, we get how Jesus builds all of these things together. So a brief review over the past, you know, month or so, 2 months that I've been back. We've gotten these great stories of heaven rejoicing over people when they return to God, and of the ways that we are to follow after God and not after money. And then Jesus tells his disciples what we read just a little bit here is, if somebody comes to you and has hurt you 7 times in a day, but every time they come back to you and say, "I'm sorry, forgive me," you're supposed to forgive them. I mean, these are big things that Jesus has been laying out to his disciples. And so I get their cry in verse 5, and it sounds desperate to me. "Lord, increase our faith. Help us to trust you, because there's no way that we can do what you have just told us we are supposed to do. It's just too big." And I feel like that's a cry that we still say daily, but common in our lives. This, "Lord, increase our faith," or "God, help me get through this. Help me trust you to get me through this." And so we live this life with this huge expectation and our own small feeling of being able to handle it. That little mustard seed faith, which of course is not the tiniest seed if you've seen them. Carrots are much smaller. But it feels like there's nothing that can come of what we have to offer to God. That there's no way that we can face the problems that we have to deal with. And when we get one more problem on top of stuff we're already dealing with, "God, increase our faith." And when one more thing comes along that we can't figure out the answer to or the way forward, "God, increase our faith." And when bad news comes from doctors or friends or the news, "God, increase our faith." And when we feel like we are stuck in a rut or we are waiting for something to become clear, "God, increase our faith. Help us to trust you that you're going to do something in the middle of this." But when we talk about faith, a lot of times we think about "help us believe." But faith isn't a list of beliefs. Faith is about trusting in someone. For us, it's trusting in God. That whatever is coming, we know who is the one who's going to be there for us and who's the one that's going to help us get through it. Faith isn't about believing the right things. Faith is about having a relationship with the God who created you and the God who carries you and the God who saves you and the God who guides you. That's what this faith is. Not "help me get it right," but "help me to trust in you." And I think the pairing in our scriptures this week, the lectionary, the Old Testament, Psalm, New Testament, all of those shoved together are just perfect for this week. Because I don't know anybody in the Bible who waits better than Habakkuk does. Or Habakkuk, whatever you want to say. I just told Nancy it's a dead language. Nobody knows how to say his name. Just go for it. So I'm going with Habakkuk. So here's this guy who looks around, and all that he sees is falling apart. And he's calling out to God, "Violence," which is supposed to be like us calling out fire. Everybody goes, "Okay, let's go. Let's go do something." It's supposed to call God to action. So God, "violence." And nothing happens. And Habakkuk goes, "How long do I have to cry this out?" I mean, this is what's happening. The rich are trampling on the needy, and the people who are doing good aren't getting the good things in life. God, how long do I have to complain about this before you're going to do something? And after he lays out this whole, the whole problem, chapter 1, the whole problem of what's going on around him, he goes, "I know what I'm going to do." This is what we read in chapter 2. "I'm going to stand at my watch post. I'm going to see what God's going to do." So it's not, you know, sitting back, "let's see what God does," but it's, "I'm waiting. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen," because there's nothing he can do about what's going on around him. It's up to God to change people's hearts and to fix what's going on, so Habakkuk just has to stand and watch and wait. And I think that's where faith comes in. Because how much of our lives is about waiting? I mean, we're really bad at it too. So we've kind of been trained not to wait, because you have the fastest internet speeds and now you've got 5G internet for your, or 5G signal for your phone when you're not connected to the internet. And we've got self-checkout lanes because we just can't wait behind somebody in a grocery store, even though it takes longer for us to check our own stuff out because we don't know what we're doing. And then where does it go in the bag? Sorry. Tangent. Even, my goodness, when we're forced to wait, when there is a red stoplight, look around at the people next to you. That's when they pull out their phones just to quick check something really fast, because we hate the light that tells us to wait. And us in doctor's offices, us in any kind of line anywhere, we are antsy. We are bad at waiting. So when it comes to stuff that's important, like what am I supposed to do about my job or my kid or the snow, or when we have to wait in those things, oh man, we are bad at it. We are really bad at it. But that's where faith comes in. In that waiting is where the faith grows. Because remember, it's not about believing, it's about trusting in God. It's when we're stuck waiting that we are forced to learn how to trust God. And for that, I hear Psalm 37. Just those first 9 verses of Psalm 37 that we read. I hear there are 7 imperatives, 7 kind of commanding words of what to do, and I hear in times of waiting. So the first was, do not fret because of the evil, because of the wicked. Do not fret. I mean, how often do we get stuck in a situation and all we can do is play it over and over and over in our minds? And then it starts to get bigger and bigger. So it takes up all of our focus and it takes up all of our concentration because we've worried about something so much that it's just grown. And there's no way around it. Do not fret in the times when you're stuck waiting, because it's only going to make you focus on the problem and not on the God who can help guide you through it. The second imperative, the second kind of command is trust in the Lord. Because it's not our own gifts and abilities and strengths and savviness that's going to get us out of some of the problems that we face. It's only God's work. Like Habakkuk, who's stuck there just waiting for God to do something. He can't make those changes, but he knows the God who can. So trust that God is working something good in the middle of whatever bad you're facing. Because that's who our God is, to create order out of chaos. It's our creation story, to guide us through the times when we are lost. God is working, to trust that. And the next is to do good. To do good, to not just sit and worry and wonder about what's going on in our lives, but to do something for someone else, to take care of someone else, to maybe lift someone else up while you are waiting to be lifted up, because maybe that good is going to do something good in you as well. Because sometimes we need to do good to ourselves. Sometimes we need to take that nap. Sometimes we need to take that break. We need to step away. We need to take care of ourselves as well, when we're facing times that cause us to struggle. The next is to delight yourself in the Lord, to find the good things. It's a silver lining kind of thing, because there's still joy to be found in life, even when life feels too big to face. And Habakkuk does this. This was my confirmation verse when I was growing up. It's Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Because in the middle of his waiting, this is what he decides to say. He says, though the fig tree does not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the produce of the olive will fail and the fields will have no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there's no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Yet I will exult in the God of my salvation, because God the Lord is my strength. See, even in all the bad, even when Habakkuk has nothing, he can still trust in God and rejoice in God and lift God up as the one who's going to be helping him. So we have do not fret. Trust in the Lord and do good. Take delight in the Lord. Find those places of joy. And the fifth imperative is to commit your way to the Lord. I mean, so often in our lives, we have to take a step forward in the middle of waiting. We have to pick a path. We have to choose a treatment. We have to have a conversation. And we're not sure if it's the right thing to do, but we've got to try. And so we take that step going, God, increase our faith. I'm trusting you in the middle of this. And if this is the wrong thing, God, I'm trusting that you're going to help me put it right when I figure out it's wrong. But it's to take that step knowing that God is with you in that step. Sixth is the hardest one. And we've gotten really good at doing it right before worship. But how many of you are actually still with God other than the 32 seconds I might give you on a Sunday morning? Can you teach us? How often do you pause with the one thing on your mind of, God, here I am. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm just going to sit here, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to breathe, and we're just going to see what you do. But I'm going to try and just be. It's a beautiful practice. I didn't get good at it. I tried it at the monastery for those 2 weeks that I was gone during my sabbatical when I was there. I tried it. I'm not good at it yet. And the sisters told me that they're not good at it yet either, and one of them's been there for like 64 years. So there's hope. Hang on. Because in each moment when you do try to just be still, to clear your mind and just breathe, to pick a word that might help you refocus. So when your mind starts traveling off, no, this is about being here. And breathing in those moments helps you breathe the rest of the day, helps you face whatever's coming with just a moment pause in your heart before it becomes something to fret over. To be still before God is really the gift that God gives us, to just rest. So in the waiting, do not fret. To trust God and to do good, to take delight in God, to commit your way and your plans to what God is doing, to be still, and finally, to let go of anger and wrath. Now, some of you in the room might be like, well, that's not a problem for me. Great. Frustration can be a form of anger and wrath. So now I know I got all you. Because that frustration comes up and it becomes, there's nothing that can be done about this. This whole thing is messed up. Just throw it away, get rid of it, I'm done. But then where can God work? To let go of that anger and that frustration that we can't fix this, but God can, is part of trust. People, this is what it means to have faith. This is what it means to have this relationship with God that knows that it's going to carry you through whatever it is that you face. And as Habakkuk is sitting back at his standing at his watch post, waiting to see what God does, God does not fail him. Because what Becky read in chapter 2 is that there is still a vision for how God wants his people to be. There is still something. Write it on tablets. It's going to be permanent. Make sure you can see it and remember that God is still answering our prayers and God is still present with us. And if it seems to tarry, if it takes a little too long and we're stuck waiting for way too long, poor Habakkuk, I don't know if he ever saw an answer to God. And if it seems to tarry, wait for it, because in that waiting is where God grows our faith. That is where our faith increases. So if you are feeling overwhelmed by big things in your life, by big problems, by big decisions, if you're feeling like your cry is a desperate one of God, increase my faith. May you trust and know that God is. That God is working to bring you to a place of wholeness and a place of life. And if it seems to be waiting, if it seems to tarry, if it's a little slow, to wait for it. Because God meets us in that waiting place. And know that whatever you end up doing, whatever you're able to offer to God in that time, that it matters. Even if it is just, here I am, God. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand. We'll join together in our hymn of